we have just watched a video showing how that 99% of the whole world lives in poverty. And in seeing that, it shows us that Britain and America are, Ephraim and Manasseh and Northern Europe, Northwestern Europe, is part of the House of Israel as well. You take that off the map. Take away Australia, New Zealand, Canada, America, Britain, Norway. And Norway, by the way, is the smartest nation in the world money-wise. They have saved and built for their population enough so that every Norwegian today has more than $1 million in the sovereign Norwegian account if allotted to every Norwegian. They owe no debt. So Dolores says, reminds me once in a while, why don't we move to Texas? I'm thinking maybe we ought to take up Norwegian. Especially after you hear what I'm going to talk about today. And then the comment was made concerning how infinitesimal that the churches of God are, yet even with the expanding of websites and things, we can reach a lot of people, which is true. But it also shows that God is doing a work with a few that he has called those who answer the call. Remember, the called, the chosen, and the faithful. If you answer the call, you're chosen, and if you're faithful to the end, you're going to help bring the kingdom of God and peace to this world. Now then, we also know that the Sabbath is the first sign of God and his people. And that, not very much is said of what the Seventh-day Adventists do. And they have many more churches, many more works. Now, they may not understand everything in prophecy because they don't keep the holy days. Okay? Now then, I find a very interesting thing, which is this. The Seventh-day Adventist traced their origin back to Israel of the Alps. And in the video that was put out by the SDAs, which we send out, it's called Israel of the Alps. Now, I think that the SDAs, having the Sabbath, now they've got a lot of other false doctrine in there as well. However, let's read Revelation 2 and verse 18 and see about the church of Thyatira. It is perhaps the church that has the most false doctrine. Now, how God judges, how God looks at the heart, that's his judgment. Now, it doesn't mean that for those who want an easy way, well, they can go join the SDA church and everything will be hunky-dory. Well, we don't know that for a fact. See? All right. Okay. Verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Now notice what it says, verse 19. And isn't it interesting? The Protestants say, your works don't count. You don't need any works. It's like they say, unconditional love. Doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter where you go, God's love covers you. Not so. I know your works and love and service and faith and your endurance and your works. And the last are more than the first. Very interesting, isn't it? You look at all the works that the SDAs have in the world. And as was pointed out, the earthquake in Haiti, one of the only buildings that remained standing and unharmed was the SDA hospital. And they have in Loma Linda one of the most extensive research centers and hospitals in America. And as a matter of fact, there was a time when there were so many Seventh-day Adventists living in Loma Vista that they closed the post office on Saturday and opened it on Sunday. Okay? How about that? All right. Have you heard of that before? Let's understand something. God is doing more with more people than we give him credit for. Okay? Now, I'm going to bring you the prayer of the president of Uganda in one of the messages that I'm going to cover in the near future. And we will compare what that prayer says to what now is happening in America. See? All right, let's read on. I have a few things against you because you allowed the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols. Now, if we understand that Jezebel was the daughter of the high priest of Baal, and the high priest of Baal today currently resides in Rome, and he is called the Pope. And right, the great altar that you see, right at the top of it, it is a big sunburst, identifying it as Baal worship. And he carries a staff. The most significant one that he has a big sunburst on it. Okay? The SDAs have been infiltrated by the Jesuits. Some of them have split off, just like other churches of God, into various kind of denominations. Let's see what happened here. And when you follow the Israel of the Alps and the history of it, you can see this vividly, that it took place. And as Mom and I were talking earlier, that there was a documentary showing about the Catholic Church, and it showed how many people they killed in martyrdom. And the Waldensians were the ones who suffered the most, and it was because they wouldn't submit to accepting the Pope as the vicar of Christ on earth, and they would not accept the sacrifice of the Mass. Okay? Now then, as it comes down to the Church of God, Seventh Day, they are, as the churches of God are, they have the bare minimum to enter into the kingdom of God. And God says, strengthen the works that remain, and I won't blot your name out of the book of life. Chapter 3. Okay. The Seventh-day Adventists have a little different situation. They have incorporated many, many, many doctrines of Jezebel. One, the Trinity. Two, the Lord's Supper. Now, they don't do it in the way that the Catholics do. But the SDAs have also allowed crosses in their churches. Okay? They keep the Lord's Supper the first Sabbath of every quarter. Now, you can find that in chapter and verse because it ain't in the Bible. Okay? All right? And whenever they follow what has been infiltrated and brought in by Jezebel's latter-day representatives, they are eating things sacrificed to an idol. Why? Even if they don't have a great idol there, anything that you do to change the word of God is an idol in your mind. So they have the doctrine, the first Sabbath of every quarter. All right? Now, at the time that they were bringing the persecution against the Waldensians, and if you don't have Israel of the Alps, write for it, we'll send it to you. Because you will see that God gave them time to repent. But she did not repent. So here's the great Catholic Church, that God gave space of repentance. Now, there was a time at the Council of Trent, so I need to bring this up. This was the last time for them to repent. Now, the Council of Trent took place over a period of 40 years, and it was called by the Pope because of the Protestants leaving, and the Protestants were saying, sola scriptura, scriptures alone. Now, that had an effect with the Roman Catholics, because at the Council of Trent, and you will read this in Appendix N of Rome's challenge to the Protestants right in the Bible, and that's why it is here, to educate people about the fact of the Sabbath and Sunday. Okay? The Council of Trent, they had the sola scriptura segment of the Roman Catholic Church. Those who said, yes, the Protestants are right, we need to abandon Sunday. We need to abandon everything that is not in the Bible, and we should keep the Sabbath. That was the big controversy there. All right. Now, when Martin Luther and the Church of England decided that they would not keep the Sabbath, and they both knew. Even today, all the Protestants know which day is the Sabbath, and so do the Catholics. Okay? When they decided to keep Sunday instead of the Sabbath, that's when the Roman Catholic Church did not go through with the people of sola scriptura within the Catholic Church, because they said the church changed the day. And that's the whole substance of Rome's challenge to the Protestants. We changed the day. It is a Catholic institution. And since the Protestants say sola scriptura, but do not keep the Sabbath, therefore, we can rest assured that we have scripture and tradition because the Protestants follow our tradition of Sunday keeping. Okay? God gave them space to repent and write within their own council. And remember this. God called William Tyndale. Now, he was a Catholic priest. God called Erasmus to put together the Greek New Testament. And he was considered a renegade in the Roman Catholic Church. Now, he was a Dutchman. And he produced his first Greek New Testament in 1516. And this is what led to the conversion of William Tyndale. Now, I suppose Now, we'll just do a little sidebar here with William Tyndale. This had to be the work of God to do it, to prepare Britain and America for receiving the end time blessings. Now, he came from Wales. Now, Gaelic is so closely related to Hebrew that the structure, the word order, and the meaning of Gaelic and Hebrew is like a dialect of English. Okay, the difference between y'all down south, okay, and whatever the expression is in Britain. So much so that he said this, that in translating the Old Testament, it was 1,000 times more easy than the New Testament. Why? Because he knew Gaelic, English, French, German, Latin, Spanish, and could have a conversation and shift from one language to the other in giving a conversation without missing a beat. Okay? Now, I've done a lot of study with William Tyndale's writings, and I think in his writings, as I pointed out, that when he was alone, when he exiled himself over to Britain, not Britain, but to Belgium, and was in Amsterdam, actually that's Holland, Belgium is right next door, that his writings, he says that Christians need to keep the commandments of God from the bottom ground of their hearts. And he didn't talk about the holidays. He did it first, but when he was working on the Old Testament, he was talking about the holy days. So I think that in God dealing with him as he was translating the Old Testament, that he himself began to keep the Sabbath. Now, how does this, so therefore, I believe, based on this evidence, that William Tyndale, coming from Wales, had to be a Levite. Because there are the greatest number of those who, from the tribes of Israel, came from Levi. And also there, they have the greatest singers in the world because of probably the descendants of the temple singers. That said, Erasmus from Holland, and that is Zebulun. Now, there's a nice little book out about Holland, and it's really good about the Zuider Zee and Zebulun and everything like that. I suspect, can't prove it, so I'll ring my bell, okay, that Erasmus himself, being a renegade Catholic priest, wanting to return the whole church to the scriptures only, and I think he was the one responsible for the Sola Scriptura in the Council of Trent, he had to be a descendant of the Levites as well to restore the Word of God. Now, there's a whole nother history. How did we get the Old Testament? Okay? I'll just give you a little sidebar on that, too. The majority of the priests and Levites who escaped the destruction of the temple went first to Tiberias, which is north and east across the Jordan and the Sea of Galilee. Later, they moved to the coast. These were the Western Jews who were the Sephardic Jews. The other Jews from Babylon wanted to keep all of the traditions, and they're the ones who basically were willing to leave the commandments of God. But in this colony of Jews on the coast of Israel, they migrated to Spain. And there was a colony of Jews that faithfully preserved the word of God. Now, they also had Maimonides, who was one of the scholars. And he's the one who verified that the calculated Hebrew calendar is correct. And he wrote Sanctifying of the New Moon, which has been translated into English by Gansfried and Golden. Okay. With the persecution against the Jews in the near 1300s, the Jews took the entire Old Testament over to Sansino, Italy, and they had it printed, written out first, and then when the printing press became available, they printed the Hebrew Bible. And with all the persecution of the Catholic Church against the Jews, against the true Christians, and calling them all kinds of names, one Jewish rabbi took the whole Old Testament up to Germany and gave a copy of it to Martin Luther. And when William Tyndale met Martin Luther, he was able to get a copy of the Old Testament from him. And that's how we got the basis for the Bible today. So I want you to think about how God down through history has used little insignificant things to preserve what he has to let it expand later on. Okay? Now, back to Thyatira. They had evangelists and missionaries that left the Alps of Israel and went northern Italy and Switzerland, and they had evangelists who would go out as businessmen, and they would take, rolled up, copies, handwritten copies of the Gospel of John. And as they were selling their wares, they would let the people know, well, I have something more valuable than what you have bought. Now, this is all in Israel of the Alps, see? And they did a lot of evangelizing in Europe. They all have to be part of the Church of Thyatira. So let's read on here. But she did not repent. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their works. And I will kill her children with death. Now that has to be the second death, because if you kill someone, they're dead, right? But if you kill them with death, that's double death, right? Okay. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the reins and the hearts. Now, that's why what the SDAs are doing today, only God knows their hearts. How many are truly converted? God knows. But they do a lot around the world. Far more than ever done by any of our knowledge of the churches of God as we understand them. And I will give to each of you according to your works. But to you I say, and to the rest who are in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of Satan. Now that's a pretty low level, isn't it? You think about the comparison of that, as we will see here in a minute, with the Church at Philadelphia, okay? Known the depths of Satan, what is that getting into? Satan worship, witchcraft, mysticism, all of those things. So it's a level above that. So that's quite interesting to understand, see? And also remember that in the majority of this time that we are talking about, They didn't have Bibles like we have them. They couldn't have it where they could all sit down in congregation like we do, and we say, open your Bible and turn here. Let's turn there. Let's read this. Okay? He says, I will cast no other burden upon you, but hold fast what you have till I come. But the one who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, I will give authority over the nations. Now that's something, isn't it? Okay? And I think as this video said, this little video that we saw today, now I'm going to make sure that we get it out to everyone in time. But I'll tell you one thing, that showed it precisely why the kingdom of God has got to come to this earth. We sit here with everything that we have, and God is going to hold us responsible for not using everything that we have. What are we going to tell God that we didn't pray when we should have? Oh, well, God, I was tired. Oh, well, God, I was too busy. I mean, compare that. When it showed that 6 billion people in the world out of 7.5 billion make $2 or less a day, and then think of our circumstances, and you'll know why the judgment's coming upon us. Okay? Let's come to chapter 3 because this becomes the most important thing. Okay? Now, we've covered this before, but what I'm going to cover and read to you in a little bit, it is going to shock you as to what is happening. Okay? So here is what needs to be for the people of God today. The Church of God at Philadelphia was the example for all churches. Now also, I know your works. He starts out with every one of them. I know your works. And if Christ and the Father are dwelling in us, they know our works, don't they? Yes. Behold, I've set before you an open door. No one has the power to shut it, because you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name, is an indication that they had all the word of God. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, and we'll talk about those a little later, who proclaim themselves to be Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. And here's why. Verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my patience, all the word of God, I will also keep you from the time of temptation. And that time is coming. Look at what they're doing right now. They're beginning to ban the Bible every place they can make a case to get rid of it. The University of Iowa, who has a hotel that they rent out to a student's parents and things like that, and visitors that come to the University of Iowa, since it is state-owned, they got a court order by those suing them called Freedom from Religion to ban Bibles in the drawer of every room in that hotel. So instead of getting rid of them all, what they've done is put some in the library down in the foyer of the hotel. But it's coming. And there are atheist churches. And what is happening to these, some of these big mega churches now? They're going bankrupt. And the atheists are beginning to take them over. Now, I'm going to bring some sermons on that a little later. I've got so much sermon material that needs to be covered. But okay. So what we need to do in all the churches of God, including the SDAs. Now, there are some SDAs who keep the holy days. Did you know that? Yes. There are some few who keep the Passover. Now, he says, let's read that again. Temptation is about to come upon the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth, a time when every human being is going to be affected. See? And a time when we would know that that would be so. So he says, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast at what you have, that no one may take away your crown. So God leaves the responsibility to us, see. That's why a hierarchy is that rules over the brethren. The brethren do the same thing that the children of Israel did to Moses. Moses, you speak to God and let him tell you what you want, and you speak to us and we'll do it. See. Whatever there is that layer of a ministry between the people and God, you're going to have troubles and difficulties. Did we not see that? And always when it gets down to it, it is a challenge. Do you love God more than loyalty to an organization when they start going astray? See? All right. Now then to the Laodiceans. And how many put people and socializing on the Sabbath as the most important criteria of their staying with the church? I don't know, but I'm sure there are a lot of them. I've heard of them. They have told me, well, we have our friends in our congregation, but as we're driving to church, we get our meat from Christian Biblical Church of God by listening to a CD on the way to and from. Okay. So there are those out there. And for those of you hearing this, what are you going to do when the crunch comes? Because I'm going to show you a little later, it's not too far from the crunch coming. Okay. He says, I know your works, verse 15, that you are neither cold nor hot. You're comfortable where you are. And remember, the thermostat can go up, and you don't know it, and the thermostat can go down. And you don't know it. I would that you were either cold or hot. See, because if they're unconverted, God says, I'll take care of them later in the second resurrection. Okay? So then, because you are lukewarm and are neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. We have seen that, haven't we? Yes. That has happened. For you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not understand that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Isn't it always true that people get their minds so set that they fail to even see the imminent danger that they are in? And we're going to see that. We're going to see that in this nation. Because I'm going to read to you some things that are taking place right now which are foretelling what is going to happen. And it's just like those, it'll be just like those on the Titanic. Oh, it's just an exercise until the water got them. And it's just like the lifeboat. Not everybody can get in. So he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold purified by the fire. That's the word of God. See? Get with the word of God. Get with God so that you may be rich, that is spiritually. Because we're going to see everything that you have as digital wealth is going to go phooey. And it's going to happen overnight. And then people are going to be scurrying around. Oh, well, let me go down to the grocery store and get some food. The shelves are empty. So that's what's going to happen to them spiritually. Now then, and anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And I'll tell you, the hardest thing in the world to do is to be zealous when you've got everything, right? Yes. You want something? Push a button. Need something else? Pick up the phone. You want a pizza? You can do it online. Go pick it up, or they'll deliver it. You want to have some exotic food? It's in the supermarket. You want clothes? You go to the store, and there's all kinds of things there. And yet back in your closet, you have so much that when you open it up, you've worn it all one time, and you say, oh, I don't have a thing to wear. Okay? Or you have some good food to eat, and you've eaten it so many times, you say, oh, I don't want that. See? Same way. See? Think about everything that God has given, everything that God has provided. See? And we need to really get out and work it and use it and develop it. See? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Christ is knocking on the door of your mind. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Now that's quite something, isn't it? Strengthening their very weak and lukewarm conversion. So the day will come. The day will come. Now, let's go ahead and take a little break, and we'll come back, and I'll explain to you some of the things that are going to be coming. So, let's go ahead and do that.